Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Tarvella, and I'm with my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Will Coleman. Will, how's it going today?
Doing well, Mike. Just running the marathon one step at a time, and I'm excited to have another VFW guy on the podcast. Today, we've got John Okocha. He's the Vice President of Acquisitions for Elevate Commercial Investment Group, primarily focusing on acquisitions where he has helped acquire over 1,600 assets within 2 years, which is pretty incredible, especially in DFW. DFW is very competitive, so I guess you guys might have some stuff all over Texas. And we had Jorge on the podcast here recently, so definitely excited to catch up with you, John, and learn more about your story.
Definitely. It's great to be here. Glad to be on your show. And it's great to be here.
So, John, what does the start of your real estate investing career? I feel like everyone has their, the pivotal point, but we'd love to hear kind of how you got started in real estate.
Yeah. So it all started when a really good friend of mine gave me the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And up until then, I hated books. I did not read books. I took like honors classes in high school, and the teachers, they would just force you to read like these books that nobody wanted to read. And then you had to take all these tests, and I just hated reading. And he gave me the book, and I finished the book in 3 days, and I've basically never been the same since. I did a couple of seminars. I did a couple of real estate seminars, and the first one I went to, I actually met my first millionaire. I remember her name was Jessie Connors. She was actually on The Apprentice, on the Donald Trump Apprentice show. And she went from living in RV parks to owning RV parks. And I remember seeing that and looking, I'm like, wow, an actual millionaire, like someone I can touch that's a millionaire. If she can do it, I can do it. And I just remember running back to the back of the building in order to buy like a $300 course. I was like working at like McDonald's or something. I used that money, bought the course, and started getting mentors, started doing wholesale deals. And I did a couple of wholesale deals. And then I went to Texas A&M University. While I was there, I developed an interest in wealth management. So I did an internship, got all the series 7, series 66, all that stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get into wealth management. And I did it for about a year. And I was like, I do not want to do this anymore. So I got back into real estate. And, I started working for a guy that owned about 300 properties in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I was buying single family properties from him. I bought 20 properties for him within the first year. It was like maybe within like an 8 month period, I'd bought over 20 properties from him. And while I was doing that, a couple of the properties were actually owned by some of the principals at Elevate. So they were selling me properties I was buying from them. And that's actually how we built that relationship. So we built a business relationship. And when they heard that I left that company, they're like, hey, do you want to come on the single family side? And I was like, no, I never want to see another single family property ever again. Like, I never want to see one ever again. And they told me that they just bought 37 doors in Temple, Texas. And if I was looking to hop on the acquisition side to help them find more properties, I could do that. So I did that. And then within 30 days, we had an LOI for over 400 units, and the rest is history.
And now here we are today. Mm-hmm. I think it's just remarkable just knowing real estate on the front end. Because, with my background, it was, my family's all teachers, or worked for Chrysler, get the safe job, right? You're good with numbers, to do accounting. And then I found Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that's when it changed. And even as an accountant, it's like, well, this is an app, like the asset liability piece was just like a game changer. So it's cool that you saw, I commend you realizing 1 year into work, because it took me 5 years to get the confidence to jump into real estate. So it's awesome that it was there, you knew it, and just progress. And I think everyone tries to get there as quick as possible, but starting with the single families and then the stepping stone and continue to build mentorship. It's a remarkable story, especially from 400 units the first at bat to where you are today. It's a truly remarkable story.
I appreciate that. It was a
And why no more single family? What put that kind of distaste in your mouth?
Man, I got tired of the hand holding. I got tired of making both parties happy. Essentially, like on the single family side, what I was doing is I was helping the buyer and the seller. I was connecting both of them, and I'd have to hold everybody's hand to closing, and it just wasn't really much of a. It didn't seem much of a like a business conversation. It wasn't as professional. Honestly, it really seemed like high school compared to multifamily. That's how I'm like.
I mean, it's coordinating the dance, right? And
yeah.
Especially coming from wealth management, seeing your first millionaire, like, I think the highest and best use of time that was not there, and not even a little bit. So it can be exhausting kind of being the DJ to this wonderful dance of the single family markets.
Especially when it's something that's more of an emotional decision. You know, like they're like some realtors, like what they'll do is they'll look for houses for different buyers, and then like, oh, I don't like this house. The kitchen is too small. Oh, the kitchen is too big. You know, it's more of like an emotional decision. And it's like, oh, this is blue, this is red, that kind of thing. And that's just something I'm not interested in.
Yeah, I remember when I was buying my single family, and the realtor and the title company, they were just shocked by like how uninvolved I was, because I would just show up, sign the papers, and leave. And they're like, wait. You like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, let's do it, let's go. And I can see that they're used to dealing with the very emotional.
Oh yeah.
They ask all these questions, and they, you know, spend hours making the decision, and it's very different to kind of the commercial mindset.
Oh yeah, completely different.
And I would always go in the basement first, and then see if it was built on good bones. So I'd be in and out in 2 minutes on deals. So they're like. What are you doing? Usually you check the kitchen, go upstairs, check the bedrooms, but yeah, it's definitely the emotional roller, but like the emotional piece comparative from single family to the multifamily. It's, you know, you got a bigger box of list of what you want and the unit size. And as long as you have the team behind you to execute, it doesn't matter what color the property is, right? Or what the value add piece.
And even in the industry, since the profit margins are, well, since people are making less money, because in multifamily, you might make millions over the course of several years. And in the same family space, you might make like 10,000, 100,000, maybe like 1,000. So since the profit is smaller, people are more willing to like cut corners, they're less willing to work with each other. You know, they're people that will try to take $500 from you, or, you know, just different things like that. There's more of an incentive to cut corners, you know, not cross your I's and dot your T's.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes kind of a different mentality to switch from the single family and then to jump into the multifamily, because it's a lot of the same process. It's a lot of the same, you know, details, and it's all real estate, right? But you do have to kind of think at a different level. Was that, I guess, talk about that mindset shift for you. Was that difficult? Was it natural? I mean, you seem like a pretty level-headed, intelligent guy. Were you always that way, or did you have to kind of work to be able to do the larger stuff?
I'd say that single-family and multifamily are pretty much the same. The only difference is how you determine the value, and also a lot of the terminology. I think for the most part, it's the same. And then the culture is different. I'd say those are the main differences. Once you understand the terminology, it's easier to have a conversation with a broker or another potential or a potential seller or anybody else in the industry. I think terminology is the best, learning the vocabulary.
Okay. And specifically within mindset, I mean, you said kind of before we started, you said that mindset is everything. Can you kind of expand on that?
Yeah. So I'd say that you need to, or anyone will need to expect what they want to get. You know, if you want to buy 20 units, you need to expect to get 20 units. If you want to buy 100 units, you need to expect to get 100 units. And just putting yourself around the people who have what you want, well, they will help you along the way to get there. And I think it's really that simple. I think when it comes to accomplishing goals, it really is as simple as hanging out with people that have what you want.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot, because back when I was a CPA, people were like, who would want to invest with you? And I was just like, there's crazy stories. Even my buddies were like, Why are you working on Saturdays to check out properties? And it was, even when I got to close my first single family, my mom cried, going, oh, you're going to lose all your money. And then 4 years later, didn't. So it's not easy. And I think, you know, but it's making sure, like to John's point, you identify the room you're in and kind of scan around and see. And I think John, when using the room with the millionaire, that was the pivotal point. That's when he's like, I can do this. I can change the room. And then just scaling up from there has been amazing to see.
And I completely agree. You know, when it comes to the people that you hang out with, a lot of times they will put their insecurities onto you. And, you know, when you're doing something that is something that they are afraid of, they'll tell you like, oh, I don't think you should do it for this reason, because that's the reason they're telling themselves why you shouldn't do it. So there's a lot of that going on too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ability to expect what you want to get, you know, whatever you want to get to expect it. I think that's really powerful, especially when you get beat down. So when you fail at something or it doesn't go exactly how you expected it to go, to still say, I still expect to meet this goal. That's the true path to success, right? It's, I don't know who says it, but it's, success is really just a string of failures put together. So it's like each time you fail, to still expect to meet that goal, no matter what, really.
I would also say to have options. So one of the things that I noticed when it comes to looking at a deal or just a lot of things just in general, that when you have options, it makes it easier to get to your goal. So let's say you have the goal of buying 100 units. So what you want to do is you want to look at as many 100 unit properties as possible. You want to get as many 100 unit LOIs out as possible. That way you have options and it makes it easier for you to attain that goal.
Plus it's a lead measure, right? Like say there might not be, you know, you don't want to buy a bad deal, but if you're measuring yourself on how many LOIs you're submitting at the prices you want, then you can celebrate that success. Eventually you're going to hit your goals and your unit count, but that lead measure is so important because that's the action that you need to be taking to get to that unit number.
Exactly. 100% agree. 100%.
And anyone who's on social media has seen Elevate. Anyone who's involved in DFW or in Texas has probably heard of both you and Jorge. And you hear so many people mention Texas is too hot, it's too expensive, the deals don't work. But you guys have taken down a pretty considerable portfolio. How have you been able to make these deals work?
Relationships. Being able to get a deal off market and being able to win the deal as well. It's all about relationships, all about track record. That's one of the biggest things. So our portfolio, our far property portfolio that we bought in Houston, the broker, he went to Texas A&M. I went to Texas A&M. So there was that connection there. And then the person that was financing our deal, our broker knew the financer, and you know, he let him know like, hey, you know, we don't retrade, we won't do this, we won't do that, that sort of thing, you know. So there's that relationship there as well. And then we met with the seller and the broker. So all those different things that led up to eventually to the sale of the property.
Texas A&M, it's like a cult.
It is. It is. I remember when I went up there, man. It was interesting. It was interesting. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You go to one football game and you're like, wow, you look around and everyone's wearing maroon and everybody's chanting the exact same thing. Like even like the kids and the families, they all know all of the chants and they're like, wow.
Do you still wear the ring, the gold ring?
I need to put it on, but yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, that, and that's, you'll get like free drinks wearing the ring.
Yeah.
There's an Aggie that owns the bar. You get like a free drink. The people will look at that and like, oh, you went to A&M? Even if they didn't, even because everybody knows someone that went to A&M. So it's a really good conversational starter too.
Yeah. In Texas, any networking events I go to, anytime I see the ring, I bring up Texas A&M.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's a couple of guys that, you know, they wear a ring. It looks similar to ours, but you know, it's not ours.
I'll say I'm Big Ten country, so not quite as big, but still passionate. And in the sense, it's that.
Oh, you said you went to Texas Tech?
No, I went to Michigan State, so
I went
we're
to Michigan
competitive.
State. Okay.
So the Spartans, but I mean, even then, people, you know, dog on colleges, but the network you have and the different backgrounds and that cultural experiences, you'll never know where that sets you apart from. And, you know,
It's
one
true.
person 6 years later, hey, we had that one class, or we went to that bar crawl, or we did that thing, and it's just like, oh, perfect. I know John or Mike or Will, and they're good people, and that could end up in a deal like you said, just with the ring.
Not just that, but the endowment funds of a school. So I actually spoke with one of the guys that was the head of investments for the AM Endowment Fund. He's like, yeah, like since you're an Aggie, we're more likely to invest with you because you're an Aggie and you went to A&M. Just
One of us.
you're one of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. And with the current market condition we're in, are you guys still being very aggressive? What's kind of your thoughts in terms of acquisitions moving forward?
So on the acquisition side, how I first landed deals and acquisitions at the beginning, it was mainly through calling brokers and mainly through calling brokers. I did call some sellers, but now since the Elevate brand is getting bigger and bigger, after we closed on the 1200 unit property in Houston, there's only maybe 50 companies in the United States that can do something like that, and we happen to be one of them now. So there's a lot of deals where people start sending us. A lot of GPs have tried to start partnering with us. So we get a lot of off-market stuff now because of that stuff. And so we don't do a lot of time. We don't do a lot of calling brokers. Now brokers are calling us. I was on the phone with one earlier, and she's like, "John, I can do this. I can do that. Like, what do you want?" Kind of thing.
But you've laid the groundwork on it, because I think too, on a lot of like podcasts and stuff, it's like, oh, the relationship, and like it takes so much time and
It
energy
does.
that you, groundwork that you've laid just to get traction with the brokers. And once you got that traction, you executed the deal. So then they just know you're a qualified buyer through and through. And so what John's saying is by far not easy, and it's very easy to simplify it, but it just constantly, like the lead measure, calling brokers, calling X amount of brokers a day, meeting them, tours. That's why we were talking offline. We're in Nashville. You know, you got to lay that groundwork to develop that pipeline through and through. So I think it's just, you know, a whole network, a body of work that you've done and executed, and it shows with acquisitions.
100%. I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Yeah, there's one deal that I was working on. It was 850 units, and I was in touch with the broker for 4 months straight before we could see it.
Wow,
Yeah, and we were the
that's
first ones to see
impressive.
it too.
And what kind of returns are you looking for in today's environment?
We look for 8 to 10% cash on cash in this environment. We try to so we're, and we aim for at least a 2x equity multiple for all of our deals within a maybe 5 to 7 year period.
Right. And you guys have the leg up over most sponsors because you have Jorge has the construction background.
Yeah.
Like you have access to that piece.
And John's been calling all the brokers. Don't shortchange John.
What's you know, I guess speak about how that's been helpful to the business.
Yeah, so when we put in an offer, we put in an LOI, and we talk about due diligence and other things like that. We tell them, hey, these are the eyes that are looking at this property. We're looking at it from a construction background. So our number is going to be more solid than the next guy's number. We actually have a construction company in-house. So when you see our number, it might be a little bit lower, but it's a solid.
Yeah, and Jorge and the podcast with that, it's the ability to not retrade. I think it's, you know, when it comes to the newer investor, it's not like single family where it's like, oh, you find this thing and knock it down. Usually in the commercial real estate, you want to stick that number. So when you have that construction team in, there's no surprises, right? You're going into due diligence. Plus, when you acquire this many units, you know exactly what you're looking for. You have enough historical numbers to see, hey, we know that we're going to spend X amount on plumbing if it's this old, or lesser if it's newer. So it's just important that when you build a track record, you see it on top of you have industry experts in your corner. So it just really makes sure you can stick that number through.
100%.
So what's next for you, John?
Elevate wise or?
Yeah, you know, you guys looking to scale? Do you have a goal that you want to hit by 2021? You know, what's kind of the future look like?
Or 2025, whatever you want, John.
So originally, before COVID hit, our goal was to get to 5,000 doors before the end of the year. And we had 850 doors under contract. And then COVID hit and that kind of messed up a lot of different things. But we're still working towards getting a lot of units under contract. We're going to launch a fund pretty soon. I can see it launching a fund pretty soon as well.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, before we go to our pro tip here, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
And we're back. So, John, we love to hear your investor pro tip for our listeners that they can take away with.
Biggest thing is relationships, being able to put yourself in the right place at the right time and be around the guys that have what you want. When it came to closing our Houston deal, the vice president of the company that we partnered with knew George and Eric from middle school. So we went to a networking event in Dallas, IMN, and they probably hadn't seen each other in many, many years. They reconnected. And then about a month later, we had a 5-property portfolio under contract.
Wow. I mean, I keep telling Will, just always got to go out there. Will's the introvert, I'm the extrovert. So it's always like, hi, my name is Mike. And just throw a cannonball into every conversation. So I know with 2020 being a not normal year, but just, you know, making sure you're laying the groundwork of 2021 events. LinkedIn has been probably more popular than ever. So just keep putting yourself out there and seeing what happens and being consistent with those relationships. Mm-hmm. Just saying hi once isn't enough. 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out. Hey, how's it going? What's new? That's what gets you the deals that John's been talking about.
100%. I 100% agree. And then get to know the broker on a personal level. If you can take them out to lunch, take them out to dinner, get to know about their family, you want to become their friend. When you become their friend, you have access to deals like that.
Yep. Real estate's a relationship business.
100%.
Keep saying it. Well, John, it's been great to meet you virtually. I look forward to seeing you at an event in person here soon. If anyone had questions or wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do so?
So one thing, if you mention this podcast and send me an email, I'll send you over a due diligence checklist. And my email is John, that's J-O-H-N, at Elevate, ELEVATECIG.com. Also, you can find me on Instagram. It's at Johnny Equity, that's J-O-H-N-N-Y-E-Q-U-I-T-Y. If you'd like to connect with me on Facebook or LinkedIn, first and last name, John Kucha.
I say we'll put it in the show notes to make sure it's all spelled out perfectly. Perfect. But appreciate it, John. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Please reach out to John. Amazing story, amazing guy, super helpful, and he's willing to, you know, be an industry leader to help people, right? So thank you, John. And if you have any questions for us, please reach out to us at info@ranciary.com. And until then, we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.